claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, we're simply delighted today to have a return by Blackbird 9. We're going to be discussing a host of major issues and eventually turn to some of lesser significance, but nevertheless of great interest. The most important, a rabbinical court has decreed no jab for children. Listen to this. On November 1st, the rabbinical court officially decreed that the mRNA COVID shot is absolutely forbidden for children, adolescents, young men, and women. The rabbinical court is part of the Israeli legal system and determines laws that reflect the teachings of the Torah, which, of course, are the first five books of the Bible of the Old Testament. A ruling by the rabbinical court is considered God's law and is strictly followed by the Jewish community. The importance of this decision cannot be understated, meaning really cannot be overstated, on its ultimate effect on Jewish children and young adults throughout the world. After hours of testimony on October 26 by medical experts, lawyers, and scientists, the rabbinical court made their decree, which set shockwaves throughout the world. The decision stated, "It is absolutely forbidden to administer or even to promote this injection to children, adolescents, young men, or women, even if it means they will not be permitted by the government to attend yeshiva or seminary or to study abroad. It is an explicit obligation to protest against this mandate, and anyone who can prevent the injection from being forced upon our youth must do so forthrightly and emphatically. It also forbade pregnant women and all healthy adults who are childbearing age to take the jab." Blackbird, I believe this is a turning point here, a very significant development. Your thoughts?
Greetings, members. Happy Wacky Wednesday. Thank you for having me back on the show. Yes, I'm just trying to take this in. I'm getting a bit of an echo on my end. Is anyone else getting
I'm hearing a bad echo too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's my fault, but Giuseppe, should I back out and come back in?
Why doesn't everybody do that for a moment?
And I can. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go out.
Okay, great. In the meantime, I have taken control. I have taken control. Just like General Alexander Haig did in the 80s when Ronnie Reagan had the failed assassination attempt, I think, which was more like trying to make a statement. There's Scorpio back. Hey, Scorpio, how are you doing today?
There's I'm doing good. Let's hope we get rid of this echo problem there.
Yep. Yeah. Once you guys all come back, I will see if that works. Otherwise, I can disconnect briefly from the Skype server and reconnect. Sometimes that fixes it. Let me try that right now.
Well, it's been from my end in the past, but I do not
hear the
echo now. Yeah, yeah. Scorpio, I'm so glad to see you, my friend. My God, I've been missing you like mad.
Blackbird. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Jim. I'm here. I'll be here this afternoon, too, for the other show.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to this. This will be good.
Are we back on Giuseppe now?
Yeah, give it a shot. Let's try it.
Blackbird, go for it. We seem to have handled the echo issue. Please.
Well, I hope it sounds as good as you all sound, because that sounded great. And yes, welcome back, Mr. Scorpio. Good to have you back, good sir.
Yeah, yes, you sound great. Everybody sounds great.
Okay, good. Much better. Okay, this time for sure. But to answer your question, I'm just still trying to get my head around all the various ramifications of this rabbinical ruling, and just what this means as far as, you know, moving the boundary, moving the goalposts on this whole concept of mandatory vaccines when it's not even a vaccine. And so we're to, justifying it not by any type of civil law, but under rabbinical law. And yeah, this is, a big thing. It's like, okay, that age old canard, or is it a trope about, will secular Jews choose to follow the rabbis, or will they follow the nation's laws where they reside, the law of the land where they reside, or will they abide by what the rabbinical council says, you know, the Grand Sanhedrin again? So yeah, yes, this is what are your biggest takeaways from this right now, guys? I mean, I know this is huge.
Scorpio.
Well, yeah, I think we're headed into Sanhedrin territory here, Blackbird. It's not surprising to me.
Elaborate. Did we lose Scorpio, Giuseppe?
No, go ahead, Giuseppe.
You just said
it's not surprising to you. On what ground, Scorpio? Could you elaborate? Just give a bit of an argument.
Well, that's how things work in Israel, and it just doesn't surprise me. It's all I can say.
Giuseppe.
Well, my take, Jim, and Blackbird 9 and Scorpio, it's great to have everybody here back at full complement of Radio Warriors. It's, the evidence is overwhelming that if you take this experimental genetic manipulation for many death jab, it's going to permanently disrupt your natural immune function, which there is only one kind of immunity, that's natural immunity. The history of immunology and vaccination is nothing but quackery and quaxination. And so I think that if any tribe of all the tribes on this earth has a burning desire to survive, it is the Jewish tribe. And so I think that they're reading the bones and seeing the data now, and they're like, don't take this shot.
Well, as Blackbird was observing, I mean, there's a massive conflict now between the civil authorities in Israel and this rabbinical court, which actually is situated in New York City. And listen to all the experts. They got real bona fide experts to arrive at the conclusion that this must be forbidden. And notice, it even insists that you have an obligation to intervene against anyone who's seeking to force others to take this vax. I mean, I think this is a very profound in its sweep. The question becomes, what tension is set up, as Blackbird was asking, between the civil and the religious authorities here?
Well, keep in mind, and I'd sure like to hear everybody's thoughts, especially Blackbird, Nine, that this is a perfect delineation between the synagogue of Satan, which is operated by the Rothschild criminal banking cabal, and the so-called true religious Jews, right? The Orthodox Jews. That's the rabbinical council is the headquarters for the Orthodox Jews. And so the whole idea that Israel is essentially, since it was created, the retail crime outlet for the Rothschild family. I mean, they designed that blue six-star flag, and they control that country lock, stock, and bagel. And so what's fascinating to me now is that you've got, I mean, keep in mind one other informational tidbit, which is that Orthodox Jews are anti-vaccination completely. I mean, they don't like to have, they're like the Amish. They don't do any jabs. So, but the key here is most people don't understand there is a huge differentiation between what's going on in Israel and what Orthodox Jews, how they live their lives.
Blackbird.
Great points. And one of the things I was thinking about was just the theater of all of this. Always going back to this is information warfare. Yeah, this is fifth generation information warfare. They set up synthetic events. They use organic events. They're just constantly in a battle for your mind. And one of the biggest pushes we've had in the, 9/11, post 9/11 world is just this Israel as the greatest ally trademark, and that's just the, that has been so much of a marketing campaign in the United States to portray Israel as our greatest ally. It's just repetition, no matter what the actual facts say, ideology difference say. But one of the things that we see with this push for mandatory vaccinations is originally Israel was out there as the vanguard of this, bragging about their 90 percentile vaccinated numbers, et cetera. And one of the things that was going through my mind then, like you gentlemen just pointed out, was in that hardcore Jewish fundamentalist mind, they are just like the Amish. They are completely anti-vaccine. You don't do that. That is a desecration of the body. So I'm like, why would all these Israelis suddenly just jump up and say, yes, we're going to take this jab and be a light unto nations. And then, we're hearing all those things about, well, what Israel got wasn't exactly what everyone else got, with the stories of the saline, the fake needles, et cetera, that this seems to be more of a marketing push than anything based on actual health data, right? This was another, marketing scheme that is falling apart on them. And so to get this news in light of that story falling apart, you just like Giuseppe says, what is going on in Israel? Are people really getting the jab? Are they just playing us for suckers and saying, oh, yeah, I got the jab 6 million times? What's going on?
Well, there are reports, of course, of a massive influx of adverse effects in Israel, too. And if those numbers are correct, that would suggest they were getting the real stuff. But I agree with you, Blackbird, that it could just be a marketing gimmick, more propaganda, that Israel is leading the way and other nations ought to follow their example. Giuseppe, how do you sort out this issue?
Well, the way I sort it out is I think there are ethical medical operatives in Israel. I mean, I watched an interview with a professor of immunology in Israel a couple days ago, and he's vehemently against all the injections, and he's provides compelling evidence. And then you've got the government of Israel, which is pedal to the metal to try and get everyone jabbed. And oy vey, we did a deal with Pfizer to get a discount when it was BB Nutty A-hole as the prime minister, and he was so proud that he had negotiated a discount from Pfizer, and they were in the rush to be the most vaccinated illegal occupying country on the face of the earth, and they achieved that. I mean, so I think that anyone with half a brain and half of any kind of training in medicine understands what a crime this death jab is, and what it's literally breaking every Nuremberg law that the world agreed to after World War II. But that doesn't matter. The globalists want the Great Reset. The globalists want the New World Order. They want Build Back Better with the number 6 as a small case B. So they're not hiding what they're trying to do. This is a massive depopulation effort, and the nanotechnology they're trying to get into the average human it is, it's unproven, it's untested, and you know, I would never take that jab, never.
Scorpio.
Well, I guess, you know, what's kind of contradictory about, you know, the Orthodox Jews is, yeah, that I guess they're anti-vax, but they live by the Talmud. I mean, that's their primary,
right,
you know, guidance in life, which is quite hostile to anyone else other than Jews. So, and it also says they can deceive the Goyim if necessary and no problem. So I'm just not sure what to make of that. I thought I saw footage of Orthodox Jews taking the shot on the news. So I'm not sure about any of that. What are your thoughts, Giuseppe?
Well, yeah, I think that even within the Orthodox community, there were some people who bought into the whole, it is a massive disinformation gaslighting campaign, that there was a pandemic. There was no pandemic. There was the release of various bioweapons, some deadly, some just to scare you with the bells and whistles of the instantaneous loss of sense of smell and sense of taste and things like that. But essentially, it was the bells and whistles chest cold. And then there was the massive rebranding of the PIC, pneumonia influenza cold, common cold season, you know, as is, hold on, I have that graphic right here that I can put up, which is, you know, this is the fundamental, in my mind, the fundamental lie of the whole scamdemic is in 2019, 2020, the CDC reported 38 million cases of the flu. In 2021, with the scamdemic, which is a fraud and a farce, there were 1,822 cases of the flu. Now this year, the flu's coming back. So it's just such a joke, and good for a sector of the Orthodox Jew to come out and say, we will not take this jab. Good for them.
Well, if there's a conflict between religious and civil authority in relation to Israel and Jews, we have a stunning development where the Biden administration is defying the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals here, telling businesses to ignore the ruling that halted the mandate. The White House Monday advised businesses to ignore a federal court's temporary halt on the vaccine mandate, saying they should continue to abide by the mandate despite the last week, the White House announced their mandate through Occupational Safety and Health Administration that would levy fines of up to $14,000 per violation for companies with more than 100 employees, set to take effect on January 4th. The Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, however, responding to a petition filed by the Texas Attorney General, businesses in other states, has blocked the administration's mandate, suggesting it raised grave constitutional and statutory issues. Now, listen to this assessment from a couple experts on OSHA in Michigan. In reality, this standard, the mandate, was promulgated illegally. The president of the United States does not have statutory authority to demand a regulatory agency create a new standard. In addition, OSHA does not have jurisdiction over vaccines. This belongs to the regulatory agencies of Health and Human Services and the FDA. OSHA regulates workplace health and safety like slips, trips, falls, machine guarding, protection from airborne hazard, dust and fumes, chemicals, vapors. They do not have the authority to mandate that employees inject anything into their bodies to control hazards, as vaccines are not a control measure for a hazard. OSHA cannot legally view unvaccinated workers as a hazard. In order for OSHA to cite any organization for a violation of their health and safety standards, they must cite a standard that has been violated. To date, there has been no COVID standard created. Therefore, any penalty, citations, or administrative admonishment should be null and void. Any organization that has received OSHA fines over the past year should demand a full refund of those fines, including damages, and that your company record be expunged from the citation. There is so much wrong with all of this. We cannot be afraid to stand up against it, expose it for what it is. The cracks are beginning to show. The dominoes are starting to fall. And I'm just dumbfounded when they send out this young black woman to say, we think people should not wait. White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, when asked what employers should do with regard to the Fifth Circuit freeze on the COVID-19 vaccine rule. I mean, this is just so blatant. This is the executive branch assuming unto itself the role of the judiciary and even of the legislative. I believe this is such a blatant violation of the Constitution, where you see very clearly that Biden has no sense whatsoever of his obligation to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which he's grossly violating right and left, and which this could not be a more stunning and blatant example. If there were any justice, he'd be subject to immediate impeachment. But because this is all politics, the Democrats aren't going to lift their least digit. Blackbird.
Oh, great point. And yeah, that, like you said, is a game changer. And it just really points out what we've been saying about this entire plandemic from day one, that it has nothing to do with healthcare. This is about political maneuvering. And you know, this is right out of the cultural Marxist playbook of setting up an executive branch to mandate policies under the banner of a clear and present danger. And you and I both saw this after 9/11, just how much of a power grab just saying 9/11 gave to all these little basically Marxist operatives within our system, letting them have a power grab. And, you're creating a problem. This is, right out of their method. You create the problem, and then you give that problem reaction solution with the carrot and stick. And so for Biden to come up with this communitarian, mandate, policies and procedures totally outside of any legal authority, but to dictate policies and procedures that if you do this, we will give you the carrot and you'll get all this federal funding, et cetera. But if you don't comply, you get the stick, which is, all the penalties, we'll shut you down, we'll revoke your licenses, all these mean, horrible things. And, to bypass all the other branches, this is to bypass the legislative branch. This is to bypass the judicial branch and just grab that power unto thyself. And for the courts to actually stand up to this is, to me, very good news, because what we saw, after 9/11 was all the people in charge of making a ruling in the jurisdiction of everything that happened with 9/11 were corrupt justices. All those judges that were in those key positions of power had been placed there, ahead of time, to do just what they did, to shoot down people like me who were looking to, for 9/11 truth and 9/11 justice. And so we are seeing the same thing with COVID, that all these corrupt justices out there are allowing these petty dictator presidents and governors. Here in North Kakalaka, we've got, election fraud waste product, Governor King Roy Cooper and his, boy wonder attorney general, chicken swinger, sidekick, carpetbagger, that are just running roughshod over North Kakalaki with this, because of COVID 9/11. It's like, we've got to, basically shred the Constitution and shut everything down except for these things. He's still getting a paycheck, but he's going to shut everybody else down. So, yeah, this is good. So maybe we are seeing some pushback from the judicial branch finally.
Well, I think that if you factor in the concept that the globalists installed the pedophile criminal Joe Biden and the Heels Up Harris, the empty skirt that blows in the wind every time she's trying to advance her career. I think that that is everything. He doesn't care about any type of duty to the Constitution, duty to the American people. He is nothing more than a marionette controlled by the Rothschild synagogue of Satan. And as such, he knows which side of the slice of bread is buttered for him. And so he is doing everything he can to implement his orders since he was installed and was not duly elected. So he doesn't give a rat's ass what happens to the people. He is just taking his orders and doing the best he can to implement them.
Yeah, well, you know, I think what we all have to realize here is that we have, you know, not only Joe Biden installed, we have all, you know, operatives from this globalist cabal that have been put into position, you know, all across the country with the intent purpose of a controlled demolition of our society and the political system we live under. That's why we're seeing so many, you know, breaks in the norm of how, you know, laws are passed. And, you know, the all of this is just a deliberate tiptoe towards a completely new system. And what they're going to throw in the mix next is huge regulations regarding the climate. You know, we're in a climate emergency now. And so, you know, and of course, it, really, when you analyze it, COVID and so-called the climate emergency are indeed the same agenda. And they're both using deception to frighten people to change how they live. And we're going to see some major changes along that front, too, very, very soon. And I think we need to realize, you know, the government, the federal government and many of the state governments are, you know, packed to the rafters with absolute traitors who are part of this cabal, either through, you know, bribery, blackmail, or coercion, or a combination of the three. And these people are deliberately trying to destroy your life. And now they're even trying to kill your children. And that is not an overstatement in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah, you're spot on across the board here, every point you just made. And in a recent discussion I had with Joe Olson on the Need to Know, where Joe is an engineer qualified in multiple disciplines, including electrical, mechanical, civil, and structural, he explained to me how he has spent, 10,000 hours studying this climate change issue. And it's totally fraudulent in that while they're claiming CO2 is some sort of threat to the environment, actually it's indispensable to life on Earth, right, and has the effect of cooling the planet in four different ways, so that the whole thing is a complete and total sham. And it's just embarrassing to see airheads like AOC out there championing, and all of the Democrats saying that the future of the planet is at risk, that this is an existential crisis, when it's nothing of the sort. And their idea of moving to, you know, electric energy, electric cars, Biden now threatening to cut off this pipeline that comes down from Canada. Mike Adams has just published a very disturbing piece about it, suggesting that this is an attempt to cut off American access to fuel so we can't even heat ourselves. It's a part of the project to impose starvation by disrupting a supply line. And we already know, of course, that farmers are being paid to plow under their crops with the threat that if they do not comply, they're going to be sprayed with Agent Orange. We know the governor of California emptied the two major reservoirs that were at record high levels that could sustain a drought for 5 years into the Pacific Ocean. And now they're at record lows. They're nothing but mud holes. We understand, therefore, that there's a three-stage process here to the annihilation of the American population mass. Kill us slowly, vaccine faster, but starvation is going to be the ultimate weapon of depopulation, and it's not going to be pretty. Blackbird, your thoughts?
Exactly. And you look at you know, who the adversary is and what their preferred tactics and end games are. And, you know, you see that mass starvation is, you know, one of the main arsenals or one of the main weapons in their arsenal. The Holodomor, the so-called Irish potato famine, the Great Depression here in the United States that my grandparents and my parents lived through and survived. You know, these were all synthetic events. And then recently you had Noam Chomsky, Mr. Pseudo-intellectual himself, come out in favor of a Holodomor 2.0 as a coercive measure to force people to get vaccinated. And yeah, so you know, one of the things I used to be a huge Chomsky fan before 9/11. 9/11 changed everything, and you know, the way he came after us in the 9/11 Truth movie, I haven't trusted the guy since. And to hear him just go full Maccabee on this, that you know, yes, we have the authority. People like me have the authority to call for the slaughter of millions by starving to death because they won't do what we say. You know, how much more arrogant well, you get than that? You know?
Blackburn, it's just appalling that this guy would come out and say that those who are refusing to be vaccinated should be isolated and starved to death. He actually said that. I mean, this is just incredible. I have faulted him about JFK and about 9/11 and even about the hopeless inadequacy of his theories about language and an innate syntax and the nature of mind. He's wrong on all counts. I've demonstrated that rather thoroughly in multiple places, but online you can find Fetzer on Chomsky, a short piece where I'm taking him for task for arguing that even if there were a conspiracy in relation to JFK, it would be unimportant because it didn't involve any matters of policy, as a withdrawing from Vietnam were not a matter of policy. Denying Israel the development of nuclear weapons were not a policy. Cutting the tax breaks for the Texas oilmen were not a policy. Prosecuting the mafia aggressively were not a policy. Abolishing and reforming the Fed were not a policy. Shattering the CIA into 1,000 pieces were not a policy. And in the case of one of these interviews, which is only about 10 minutes, it was done brilliantly, where when I would fault Chomsky for taking a certain position, he switched to Chomsky saying precisely the position for which I was faulting him. I mean, it's just stunning. The stuff about 9/11, or more importantly, his language and innate syntax is more subtle and academic, but I think it's extremely important because Chomsky basically inverted the relationship between the use of language in practice, which is known as pragmatics, semantics as a model of the meaning of the words that are used in communicating, and syntax, which arises at a higher level when you have so many properties and objects you're discussing, you have to organize how you say what you're saying to be intelligible. Basically, language is an interactive phenomenon between individuals, and it does not begin with syntax, but only ends with syntax, which is a model and an artificial one at that, where the idea that there should be an init syntax is simply absurd. Having taught logic, formal logic, for 35 years, it's extremely difficult for students to learn how to formalize language, and it's necessary to explain we're creating an artificial model of language that leaves out very important elements. For them to acquire that ability is a challenge, but if there were innate syntactical ability, it ought to be effortless. So there's a multiplicity of grounds on which Noam Chomsky has far exceeded his date of expiration, and for him to be coming out like this is grotesque, grotesque. Blackburn, back to you.
Oh, I love that rant. I want that. I just want that rant, stand alone, and play it constantly. That was great. Because you look at it, you know, you take off the fan goggles and you really do a critique of his work. And like you said, basically, I see it as, he took everything that Umberto Eco had said earlier and then mangled it with this, you know, pill-pull Jewish supremacist you know, pseudo logic system, like you said, and you kind of wonder if his whole point wasn't to undermine English. You know, as a good cultural Marxist, first rule of community organizing is community disorganizing. And what better thing to do than attack your enemy's language system? And like you said, confusing the heck out of the best and the brightest that are trying to learn these logic systems, that, you know, and having these Jewish professors sabotaging it.
Yeah, we got a little echo, but that's good. Scorpio, pick it up.
Yes. Oh, I have an echo. Let me drop off and come right back on.
Okay.
I have a point I want to make, though.
Giuseppe, it seems to me we've got the echo problem again. Do you want to address?
Sure. Let me.
Do we need to go out and come back in again?
Let me disconnect and reconnect to Skype and see if that fixes it. Okay. Is that any better?
I think so.
Okay, great.
I've got an echo, but you don't.
No.
I hear an echo with Dr. Fetzer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I hear it too.
Okay, maybe Scorpio.
I'll drop out and come back.
Okay, perfect. There you go.
Do I sound
okay? Well, I think the point I'd like to make about Noam Chomsky is that, you know, since, gosh, for 20 years, there's been rumors flying around that the man is an intelligence operative. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's why he was elevated, you know, amongst all the other academics and intellectuals. This man was elevated to superstardom on, you know, fairly shaky grounds, quite frankly, as Jim's pointed out with his logical flaws. But the most important, the most telling thing here is that, like any good intelligence operative, he may go along with the counterculture in some ways, but on the important issues, he's right on point with the state. From the Kennedy assassination to 9/11. And of course, my favorite Noam Chomsky line of all time was, you know, regarding Building 7 at World Trade Center. Well, sometimes things just happen. That was his explanation as to why Building 7 collapsed into his own footprint. So the man is really intellectually dishonest. He's an operative. And this is part of the Mockingbird media. And it shows that, you know, they have operatives, intelligence operatives in all fields, and they can make anyone into a superstar. And almost anyone who is a superstar is an operative on the inside.
I think those are very good points. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I've always found Noam Chomsky personally offensive. I always thought I found him unreadable. You know, he's just a self-absorbed, like the Monty Python, the Department of Redundancy Department. I would describe him as a vile Jew, but that's redundant. And so he's been propped up. The other day, I was looking at the comments, Jim, at the Need to Know, when we really destroyed Chomsky as the fraud that he is, and now as the subhuman parasite that he is. And he's like, well, how did he get into MIT? Well, he got into MIT just like the Jew cancer that we deal with every day ate its way into. They took over the funding of MIT. They took over the funding of Harvard. And another fraud, Chomsky-like fraud, is the Supreme Court Justice Kagan, the Jew that's got to run Harvard School of Law when she's an intellectual lightweight and a traitor. And such is the case with Chomsky. He's, as you laid out, Jim, from your own training as a PhD in logic, but as just a trained investigative journalist and later as a trained oriental medicine practitioner that is constantly having to drill down into what people are saying to formulate a differential diagnosis. He always offended me, and I found him unreadable because at the Milwaukee Sentinel back in the 80s, when I was a professional journalist, we were constantly trained to trim your copy and just say, make the point. Don't no needless words or needless words. And he is the Jewish prince of needless words. He takes 500 words rather, to try and make a point that I could have edited down and made in 25 words. And his points are always wrong. And again, he's been an operative. And what offended me about that vile Jew was when he would try to poo-poo the Kennedy assassination. And he said, well, people die every day. What's the big deal? I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. I mean, yeah. He's a piece of shit. And he's like so many vile Jews, propped up miles above their true intellectual standing, their true ethical standing. But because they are operatives for the Rothschild Synagogue of Satan, they're installed in these positions of immense power and influence when they have absolutely no business being there. And such is the case with the vile Jew, Noam Chomsky. But the good news is, seeing that last interview, Dave, when he's essentially calling for a Holodomor, I can tell you that guy is not going to live another year. His kidneys are failing. He's got liver spots all over his face now, which shows his liver is clogged and failing. So he's going to go join his many other chicken-swinging brethren in their version of hell very soon.
I have had colleagues who just hung on to every word of Noam Chomsky. If he said it, they believed it. They regarded him as the leading public intellectual in America, if not the world. It was just disgraceful. I got to say, after vast experience in higher education, I formed the indelible impression that most MIT and Yale are very much under control of our intel agencies, and even maybe regarded as, in the case of Yale, a factory for producing CIA operatives. This is my personal opinion, but I have a lot of reasons for believing that. Scorpio.
Well, yeah, and Jim, if I just add one other thing, you know, the fact that, as Giuseppe points out, that, you know, Chomsky is literally on his deathbed, but he's going whole hog into the agenda for COVID, even saying that people should be starved to death. I think this shows the seriousness of this agenda. This is the ultimate agenda, what we're facing right now. And this is what they're going to use to completely transform human beings, civilization, and the very nature of what it means to be human. And so that's why Chomsky is doubling down on his deathbed. And we're also seeing, you know, the true statist nature of many of these so-called progressives. They're really people that worship the state. Most of them are atheists. They worship the state, and they want to use the state power to enact this ultimate agenda. And we're just seeing how totalitarian they really are. All this window dressing about, hey, we love everybody, and you know, you can be gay, and we love you. That's all just window dressing to keep people off the trail of a true totalitarian mindset. And as Chomsky said himself, they're willing to starve people to death. And I do believe that's in the playbook. And according to some reports from people who are in the agriculture industry, food shortages are coming. We'll see if that's true.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt they're coming. Blackbird, your further thought.
Yes, another one of those MIT alumni. And fun fact, I always wanted to go to MIT. I didn't get to go to MIT, being just a North Cackalacky country boy. But I always wanted to, but Dr. Robert J. Allman is a proud Jew alumni of MIT, and his game theory models are also in line with this catastrophic event theory model that all of these, you know, Maccabee Zionist Jews are working from, that, you know, they will bring in their new world order once they have destroyed all of the old world order. And this is just ingrained in them from birth. And Robert J. Allman did his thesis on the rationality of war, basically. And he was, you know, big consultant to Bibi Netanyahu and the rest of these Likudniks in Israel in the run-up to 9/11. And his game theory models, that was pointed out by Mr. Jeff Gates and the late, great Anthony Lawson, were fundamental to the modeling of selling 9/11 to the American public to get the Odinian plan for Greater Israel, the infinite wars, started. And so, you know, he's another one of those traitors that was trained on the U.S. dollar and then goes to Israel to fight against America and fight against Western civilization. And I think, you know, Noam Chomsky is another one of these guys that has been fighting against Western civilization under the banner of being one of our guiding lights of that civilization. The whole time he's been trying to destroy it from within.
Giuseppe, we seem to be frozen. Can you hear me? Please add your comments to Blackbird.
Yeah, Jim, a few moments ago you froze. I don't know if there's issues with your internet stream, but you did eventually come back. So we could hear you the entire time. I mean, Blackbird 9 has done just a phenomenal job of investigating and documenting what is going on with the Synagogue of Satan, as the great Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has outlined in his seminal, brilliant work, the book called The Synagogue of Satan. And so I would say that this is the Rothschild Satanist, the pseudo-Jew, the Satanist hiding behind the Jewish cloak. It's like the Lombardi power sweep. They've been doing the same thing for a century, quite possibly millennia. And because nobody stops them, nobody calls them out in the last several hundred years, they've been allowed, much like untreated cancer, to metastasize greatly. And now they're in positions of power in every first world country on this planet that they have no business being in power with. Scorpio, your thoughts? I know Jim's trying to get reconnected.
Yeah, those are good points. I just think we're seeing the seriousness of this agenda here. And, you know, when you have someone like Chomsky openly calling for starvation to be used as a tactic to get people to comply, you know, all this window dressing of progressivism really fades away, doesn't it? And we see the true nature of these people and how deadly serious they are.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Also, the fact that we're seeing, you know, here Noam Chomsky is literally on his deathbed, as you're pointing out by his ghastly appearance,
right?
That he's still pushing hard. And so I think we need to be prepared for some very extreme measures coming our way, guys. Things seem quiet right now, but I think there's a lot more to come. I just have had this strange feeling that I can't shake over the last few weeks. And I think we're heading into something very, very big very soon. But part of the problem they face, you know, you guys have probably heard about this thing in Los Angeles where they're saying, well, you know, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a gym without proof of COVID vaccine. And, you know, that's the official stance. But when you actually go to Los Angeles and see the boots on the ground, they're having real trouble enforcing this because so many of the businesses, frankly, don't give a shit. And they don't want to be turned into sort of an enforcement arm for the government, and while simultaneously destroying their own business. You know, in other words, turning away customers. They're actually asking these businesses to turn away customers. And so that goes against the very, you know, foundation of so-called free market capitalism. And, you know, it represents, again, this attempt to transform and, you know, demolish the system and the civilization we live in. It's nothing short of that. But the good news is when you get to the boots on the ground, they're having trouble enforcing this because your average person just isn't willing to do this.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And I'd like to put this statement out to, and then get first Blackbird's reply and then you, Scorpio, as we wait for Jim to reboot his computer and return. He's having issues. It's either his computer or his internet connection, clearly. But, you know, when I after my last corporate job, that was part of the CD-ROM manufacturing boom of the 90s. My wife and I moved to New Mexico in 1999 and lived basically an off-the-grid lifestyle for about 6 years. And I met this detective sergeant in Silver City. He was raised by a mountain man, and he was such a cool guy, and we got to be buddies. I helped him start a business, wrote his business plan and all that stuff, and we would go gold panning, right? And the whole idea in panning for gold is you have this container, and you shake it and let the water wash the silt and everything, and then eventually you find these little nuggets of gold, right? And so that's what is the great gift of the COVID scamdemic, is the synagogue of Satan, the Rothschild minions, are so desperate for this new world order, build back better with the sixes, 666, and the Great Reset, that they are not hiding in any type of shadowy nether region. They are out and showing what they're doing. And people like Chomsky and some of these Biden and some of these other traitors, they're being exposed completely because they're so desperate to create this great reset and this new world order. Professor, are you there? Can you hear us? Well, he's there, but there he is.
Yeah. Thanks. Giuseppe, you had exactly the right idea. Well, as I was mentioning, Mike Adams has a brilliant piece. I put the link there. Let me see if I can pull it up, where he's reporting how the Biden idea of canceling now, he's moving to cancel this pipeline from Canada that comes down through Wisconsin and Michigan to provide fuel as a part of the agenda to deprive us even of the ability to heat our homes during the winter. In other words, this is part and parcel of the scummy operation in which Biden is whole hog. Yes, yes, yes. Perhaps you could read a part of it.
Sure, absolutely. The headline, the lead paragraph from Mike Adams: in his latest act of total warfare against the American people, Joe Biden is pushing to shut down the Line 5 pipeline in Michigan that transports over 500,000 barrels of crude oil per day from Canada to Michigan, where it gets processed and distributed throughout the Midwest. Without this pipeline, Midwestern states are going to face critical shortages of fuel this winter. At the same time, Biden's handlers are engineering a supply chain collapse, food shortages, and unrelenting inflation. And then he quotes a Fox News report. Jason Haynes, the director of environmental policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, blasts the Biden administration for its energy policies, telling Fox News that their work on Line 5 is, open quote, just one more example of being divorced from reality, close quote. Hayes presented a dire picture of what shutting down Line 5 could mean if people are unable to get natural gas or the electricity it provides as the nation heads into winter. He opened the quote again. I hope it doesn't end like this, but where I see it going is unfortunately the same thing that happened in February in Texas. People are freezing in their homes. And then he begins another headline. Pipeline is essential to the lifeblood of the Midwest. And that is so true. And especially that it looks like the Midwest is going to have a very brutal cold winter. So that will really murder some people in the.
And Giuseppe, that's going to affect me because I reside just 10 miles south of Madison,
right,
Wisconsin.
That's right.
And all this is deliberate. That's what everyone has to appreciate. The Biden administration is out to destroy America, the open borders, the collapse of the supply chain, pushing all these mandates, these vaccines, which are going to destroy our military, our health service capabilities. Now even subjecting us to a fuel shortage so we can't, you know, warm our homes in the winter, and of course cutting off. When years ago I saw there was some law that you could have your own garden, I recognized something was terribly, terribly wrong, and now we're seeing the outlines of exactly what has been planned all along. Blackbird.
Oh, yes, that was a huge warning sign to me when you started seeing the official acts of these governing bodies and, you know, NGO groups like EPA, et cetera, suddenly saying you couldn't have a garden or you couldn't collect rainwater or you could not touch the stream that runs across your property. You can't, you know, you let that stream have livestock on it anymore, like it's had for, you know, hundreds of years, right? So these kind of things, you just see that that's part of the communist model of no personal property, that the state owns everything. And, you know, you take that to the next step of Zionism and Talmudicism, where, you know, the Jews feel that they were given the planet and all those resources belong to them to distribute as they see fit based on their law, and everyone else is goyim, cattle that exist to serve them. And this is the mindset. You can call me whatever you want. That's their words, not mine. Now, when you look at this, you know, I agree with, you know, Scorpio, that, you know, this accelerationism seems to be that we're headed into an endgame scenario. And so to me, that endgame scenario is that velvet glove coming off to, you know, to reveal the iron fist. And I always go back to the Alan Zabrowski quote about the Zionists are playing this as an all or nothing exercise. If they lose this one, they're done. And so it's this idea of, yeah, they've got a plan. They're moving into end game. Are they going to be able to pull off their end game, or are we going to be able to stop them? And the image that came to mind when Mr. Scorpio was talking was the old Frank Zappa quote. And he said, the illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just shut down the scenery. They will pull back the curtains. They will move out the tables and chairs, move those out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. And yeah, this is what, you know, you wonder, is this what the Bolsheviks saw in 1970? Is this is what the Ukrainians saw during the Holodomor? Is this what the Armenians saw during the Armenian genocide? You know, we just all of a sudden you realize this is getting real, real fast. You know, they have shut off the supply. And that's the thing about the, you know, if you own all the supply and all the distribution, you know, you have this very powerful weapon, and all you have to do is shut it down. And they're very good at shutting things down. So back to you.
Well, what we're talking about are real issues, real threats to our nation, to our friends, to our relatives, to our fellow citizens. And the Biden administration is completely all in on it. We got to break there with Biden. Right.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Scorpio, I want to bring you in on all of this. Please do share your thoughts. Scorpio.
Yes. Well, I'm just, I'm really thinking that, Blackbird 9 is right. We are heading into an end game, and things are going to progress very rapidly here from here on out. This really is an all or nothing game. And I've just had a strange feeling here. Something big is just around the corner, and I mean really big. And, ultimately this whole, environmental thing is simply about the control of all natural resources. That's all it's about. And you combine that with, in these infrastructure bills, so-called, that Robinette Biden is pushing, there is actually penalties for businesses that use too much fossil fuel, which the very term is ludicrous. There's no such thing as fossil fuel. But anyway, they're already heading towards a carbon tax, essentially. And this is going to continue to squeeze out all the small businesses that don't have access to magic shekels, because the big corporations will be able to pay the carbon taxes with their essentially free money they get, the magic shekels they get from the central banks. So it's going to continue to consolidate power and consolidate market share and squeeze out all of the independent players. And we're heading into a system of totalitarian mindset that is unimaginable to most people. Frankly, I hate to be pessimistic, but I don't think there's any stopping this in the short term. This is all going to move forward, because the bottom line is these people already own everything of importance. We just didn't notice it until now. And I do think we're going to reach that moment very soon where the curtain is pulled away and we see that brick wall. That was a great quote from Frank Zappa, who I think probably knew a lot of the inner workings of this cabal. you know, having been a rock star, and his father was involved in chemical weapons research, I think he knew a lot more than he revealed, but he certainly revealed a lot in that quote.
Giuseppe, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't have a good reason to question what we've just heard from Scorpio. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that if you factor in the idea, last year they did the test run here in the mid-Atlantic with the so-called Patriot pipeline, with the hacking the antiquated system and blaming it on a ransomware attack when it was clearly, you know, the CIA Mossad doing it, and trying to blame a Moscow ransomware. And what was fascinating, Jim, is there was no shortage of gas, but within 24 hours, every gas station here in Stalingrad 2.0, Northern Virginia, was panic bought and empty. So, you know, my wife and I, we both have Priuses. Our tanks were filled. I knew we could ride it out easily for a month. And but I drove around in like a 10-mile square radius, and there was no gas anywhere. And a week later, they turned it back on. Life is back to normal. So that's the test run. And my second point is, you know, the Democratic Party is not, it's been taken over by communism. It's the globalist Great Reset Party. And Biden's pick to regulate the banking system is a trader named Sal Omarova, who received, it's a woman, an Asian woman, like S-A-U-L-E, Sal, received the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship at Moscow State University. And she's advocating, again, this is a traitorous nomination, wants to starve companies that invest in oil and gas. So the Jew, which is controls communism, controls Zionism, the synagogue of Satan, traitors, they love to starve things. And so I think we're going to be seeing some starving here this year.
Well, I want Blackbird on this, but I'm telling you what Scorpio is saying is a very sober assessment that it may be we're in a situation that is literally unstoppable. Blackbird.
Well, I have to, like you said, I hate to have to agree with him, but I do. In game theory, you have that situation where all the events are outside your control. You know, despite all your best laid plans, preventative measures, there's always that unknowable situation, the tempest, if you will, that is just going to do what it's going to do. And all you can do basically is hang on and ride it out. You think of Ulysses and the Great Tempest in the Odyssey. And yeah, that's part of the hero's journey. But here, you know, that idea of the synagogue of Satan setting up a plan that, like a doomsday device, that once this engine was started, it couldn't be stopped until it ran its course. And we, you know, may not be able to stop it. We just have to survive it. And, you know, my big takeaway after 9/11 is realizing, after you figure out who did 9/11 and why, that we really are in an existential war that we're just unaware of. And in an existential war, you know, surviving, the mere act of surviving is defiance. So that's, I guess my take is, you know, we just have to ride this out if it's going to play, run its course. And you know, I hate to say, you know, build back, but, you know, just, but we're going to be picking up pieces. I guess that's one of the reasons I use that symbol of the bucket so much in my work, is that idea, picking up the pieces and the crap after this thing blows everything up. And that's what we're, you know, going to be faced with. It's, here we are. So back to you,
Giuseppe.
That's an excellent point. You know, survival is victory. And, you know, the synagogue of Satan wields such unbelievable power at this point. I mean, they've been, you know, the modern surge, you can argue that the hidden hand, as the brilliant Eustace Mullins delineated in his compelling book, the seminal work of The Curse of Cain. And they've been at this for millennia, but really in the modern age, in my mind, it dates back to Russia under the czars and Germany under Wilhelm and his premier von Bismarck. The international Jew wanted to create a new world order and one central bank then, and those two countries blocked them, which created a blood feud, and that led to everything led to what we are in now. I mean, literally the Jew War, Bankster War One, Jew War, World War II, the lies of the Holocaust, the getting traders to change the immigration laws back in the 60s, the destruction of the European tribes. And now you've got full-on communist control, globalist, traitorous control of the federal government by illegally installed traders, and who are, you know, not hiding the fact that they're communists and they're trying to destroy everything, our way of life. And so it's going to get quite dark, because look at how many normies believed the every day is the seventh month, believe the July of that we're in a scamdemic, and your only way to survive is to take this death jab. And now we're witnessing, you know, very, very regional and possibly national Holodomor too. I mean, if they're going to shut off that pipeline and then they break down the Patriot pipeline again and one more to the southwest, the entire country is crippled and you don't even have to work up a sweat to do it.
Well, this is all quite catastrophic in my opinion. Scorpio, I mean, I don't see how to be philosophical about this. I mean, not even the professional sense. I mean, in the ordinary sense. I mean, how can we take this line down? I mean, how can you wipe out a great nation and do it without firing a shot? We seem to be witnessing that taking place even as we speak.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. And I think part of the problem is that we're experiencing a new kind of warfare. People are used to, you know, armies lining up and shooting each other. This is a completely new kind of warfare. And ultimately, you know, whenever you have a statist government that starts to garner more and more power, they'll always turn on their own people eventually. It's just a matter of time. And of course, part of the agenda here is depopulation. They want to kill as many people as possible. And unfortunately, most people are blissfully unaware of what is happening as they line their children up 5 to 11 years old to be injected with a deadly concoction that's at the very least is going to shorten their lives and probably sterilize them. And I believe there's other elements in these vaccines that aren't so-called vaccines that aren't talked about, including behavior modification and possibly even mind control using the metals and other chemicals that are in this concoction, this witch's brew, to essentially make people more susceptible to frequencies that are being broadcast through multiple platforms. So I think we're in very dire times. It's just the problem is most people don't realize how dire things really are. And unfortunately, I don't see a way of stopping it in the short term. This is going to play out. It's just going to be a matter of how people react to it. And if people just take it lying down and keep looking to the government for help, that's the thing. We need to stop recognizing the legitimacy of this government and stop looking to it to help us in any way, because they're trying to kill us. And it's time for people to realize that we have a system that's completely turned against the average person. And so, Jim, I just think we're going to be in for some very wild times. I think 2022 is going to be a very strange year. And I believe within a few years, we're going to see a call for troops on the street to restore order.
It's not going to be a few years, Scorpio. This is all going to be over in relatively short order, in my opinion. Blackbird, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember the line from 1906 when Alfred Henry Lewis stated, "There are only 9 miles between mankind and anarchy." And this idea of going into a Holodomor in the United States and worldwide, that's the, I think, the significance here, that like the Great Depression of the 1920s and 30s that my grandparents and my parents lived through, you know, this is global in nature, but at a completely different magnitude, because you think how much of your local economies are local anymore compared to what the standard was in the United States during the 1930s. And I just think in my own areas here in the Appalachian Mountains of North Kakalaki, you know, how much more independent those counties were as far as their food supplies and, you know, industry and things like that, and how they are now, where everything is basically corporate owned from these huge, you know, multinational corporations. One of the interesting facts about Wilkes County is the original Lowe's store started in North Wilkesboro and has now become this global, you know, juggernaut of the industry. And, you know, that started as one store in my lifetime. And, you know, so we're seeing this corporate, you know, beast on our communities. And, you know, who has really suffered the most through the COVID shutdowns is the local independent business people.
Right.
They're the ones that had to shut down and lost their source of income. But all these corporate giants, they managed to stay in business. You know, McDonald's is booming. Walmart is booming. But, you know, your local place, they have to follow all these ridiculous status, you know, mandates that are completely outside the authority of these local bodies, like the Boone, the new Boone Town Council, echo, 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 that has us under this incredible lockdown. You would think people were dying in the streets the way, you know, this, the Jewish media here and the Jewish-run university and all of our new Jewish-controlled leaders in this county after 9/11, we got completely invaded, and they are all in this. You goyim have to be locked down. Where is your mask? We will have you arrested. We'll have you dragged out of here. I mean, that's how insane it is in this little corner of North Carolina. You know, you go, you know, 30 miles, and the surrounding areas are still sane. But yeah, these, you know, little communists that moved in here, they have got us locked down. It's insane. And, you know, the university announced that, you know, all the faculties and students had to be jabbed before they could return to school. And, yeah, but who's going to take liability for how many of them die from this or suffer side effects from this? Not Chancellor Jezebel Everett. She's exempt. Not the Watauga Democrat. They're exempt. Not the Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, they're exempt. Not the white coat doctors that did it, they're exempt. Not the corporate drug stores that provided it, they're exempt. You get full accountability, you know, you get full liability. You take the risk, everything's on you. You're on your own. And that is just so wrong, but that's warfare.
By the way, a story I'd meant to introduce earlier that may or may not make any difference ultimately given the dire circumstances of our situation. The New York Times and the FBI have confirmed the legitimacy of the Ashley Biden diary that exposes incest and pedophilia by Joe Biden. I mean, this is fairly stunning stuff. We had the diary out before about how she was a young girl. She was taking showers with her father and that she believed she had been molested and violated. But, you know, here we have now verification that her diary reports are accurate. Of course, the Biden administration, the DOJ, would do absolutely nothing about it. We know that this DOJ and this FBI are completely politically compromised. In fact, I'm fairly astonished the FBI would even be the source of confirmation. Let me share a bit about the story. not since the Clintons have the American people witness a more scandalous first family than the Bidens. Say what you want about the Obamas, and they were pretty bad, but the Clintons and Bidens definitely take it to a new level. The 2019 diary of President Joe Biden's daughter, 39-year-old Ashley Blazer Biden, was obtained via Project Veritas whistleblower and published by National File mere weeks before the 2020 presidential election, and has finally been confirmed by the FBI as being legitimately authentic. It seems the Biden family are forever caught up in rumors of sexual deviance and corruption, with Ashley's brother Hunter having the laptop he wanted repaired, handed to authorities after it was abandoned. Became clear the laptop contained thousands of pornographic images, drug use, email, lots of videos, by the way, including some that appear to me to be Hunter cavorting with the two purported daughters of Barack and Michelle Obama. This was largely ignored by the mainstream, of course. They willingly scrambled to cover up Hunter's indiscretions, and Ashley's diary was accorded the same courtesy. In her diary, Ashley detailed past sexual trauma and was sure she was molested by her father, whom she wrote took showers with her when she was a young child, and which she said was probably not appropriate. To put it mildly, was I molested? I think so. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember trauma. Then stating that there were several incidents, including one involving her cousin, Caroline, and that she remembers being hypersexualized at a young age. I mean, it goes on and on. There's no end to this. I believe another reason for having this completely vacuous figure, who I do not actually believe is the real Joe Biden, in the office, because he has no conscience, no comprehensive, no responsibility for anything he's doing. He doesn't understand the meaning or the effects of his actions and declarations. Blackbird, yours first.
This is such a down the rabbit hole story. One, it just reeks of media sensationalism because Mockingbird everywhere is, running with it. But what's curious to me is any story that is suddenly everywhere, but the actual events happened a while back, is always suspect. So one of the things that I found from the Project Veritas research on this is the actual event of the diary going missing and thinking being stolen, that happened a while back.
Over a year ago.
Yeah. And so suddenly, though, you're getting reports that the FBI is going after Project Veritas, because Project Veritas somehow got this magic diary from an anonymous person. They tried to give it to law enforcement, and law enforcement was like, no, you hang on to it. And so you kind of wonder, was this a very strategic play to go up against Project Veritas? Because one of the things that they have done is raided offices of Project Veritas and confiscated computers and phones. And so is this like a Stasi, Cheka, NKVD type investigation, echo, that's actually an intelligence gathering operation? Are they trying to dismantle the Project Veritas network because it is doing so much damage to them and their agenda? So those were just some of the, well, maybe it's not what it seems kind of thing. But the idea of the FBI, which is just exposing itself as being more and more corrupt every day, that they are investigating a diary being stolen. I mean, get your head around that the FBI doesn't have anything better to do than send out these SWAT teams to raid offices because a diary was stolen. So those are just some of the thoughts I had on this.
Well, personally, I believe the diary is almost certainly authentic. We've got lots of corroborating evidence about Biden and his pedophilia. For example, when Christopher Coons was sworn in as junior senator from Delaware by Biden himself, he leaned over to his Kuhn's daughter following the ceremony and said, and it was picked up by the microphones and became a big story ever so briefly, "Do you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 14-year-old girl? I mean, this is just typical." And he's known as a grabber and a sniffer, and he has hands on children all the time. So this is consistent with Biden, the real Joe. On the other hand, they used to take down Project Veritas. I think that's totally plausible, Blackbird. Scorpio, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, it seems to me that the FBI has really become nothing more than a goon squad for the Federalists, for the people in power. I think it's been that way for a long time. They helped cover up 9/11. They helped cover up the Kennedy assassination. And I know people say, "Oh, well, there's good agents, you know, that are in mid-level." Well, there probably are, but someone has to do the dirty work. And if they get an order, they're going to follow it or they lose their pension. And so, you know, the idea that O'Keefe gets raided and harassed, and he even said he was physically abused in the process of being arrested. Something like 12 armed FBI agents came into his house and slapped him around and sort of, you know, intentionally tried to intimidate him and scare him. I think this might have to do too with some of his work on the vaccine. He's aired some rather disturbing footage of some of these Pfizer and Moderna executives telling what they really think about this. So, you know, and right now the vaccine is the most important prong of this agenda. Although I do think that we're going to see very shortly, you know, massive plays on the so-called environmental agenda, which is just the control of all natural resources.
Giuseppe.
Well, Frederick C. Blackburn made the excellent point that I was going to make, that the Ashley Biden diary was actually leaked over a year ago on several websites, and they went into all this and it basically got no traction. And now to because Project Veritas is doing some excellent muckraking and really exposing the globalist malignancy with this Great Reset, Build Back Better demonic agenda, that they go after them, they rough them up, they being the FBI, so corrupt in so many ways now, it's really tragic. But you have to keep in mind that the Biden would have never have been able to be installed as the phony president, the FAUX president, currently operating in liege with the globalists, had Hunter's laptop been fully covered by the mainstream Mockingbird media. I mean, there was so much vile garbage on that laptop. Real journalists should have been all over it. But what we have is Jew journalists, Jew traitorous journalists, like the New York Times, like the Washington Compost, like every network. They're all owned by the internationalist Jew, and they all essentially gaslight the message of the internationalist Jew. It's just absolutely disgusting.
Well, I want to open the lines for callers, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot who have things to say about what we've been discussing here. I can't imagine more disturbing issues than those we've been covering today. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call. We'll get you on the air. 540-352-4452. We're killing the break just as we did the earlier so we can continue our conversation. But Blackbird, how are we going to be able to write it out? I mean, I find maybe your assessment the most optimistic one could reasonably be, but of course it's actually describing a dire situation. I appreciate elaboration more from you.
Well, one of the things about we funny humans is we always seem to rise to the occasion. You know, we just when presented a problem outside of the box, we come up with outside of the box solutions. And I think the biggest thing about fifth generation warfare is the aspect of fifth generation warfare is you are waging war on a target that does not understand that they're at war. And I thought that was a brilliant addition to the definition of what makes, you know, fifth generation warfare different than, say, fourth generation or third generation warfare. And I had always basically said the methods of artificial intelligence and drones really characterized fifth generation. But the idea of fifth generation warfare is warfare waged on an unsuspecting target. And so one of the things we've been paralyzed against with the synagogue of Satan is, one, being told repeatedly that it doesn't exist. You know, that's the whole thing of the hidden hand. That's their power, is they, you know, don't exist. So you're actually at a war with an enemy that you can't see, and you don't even know that you're at war. You just realize that your world isn't really going as planned, and things get worse by the year, worse by the generation, et cetera. And, you know, to me, the great awakening after 9/11 is the revealing of this international adversary of very, very dark people that have an agenda, have an end game. And part of that end game is they want everything that you know, everything that you are, your family, your private properties, your private businesses, your independent governments, your nationalism. They want all that destroyed so that they can take over the planet and make it their world under their system, which is basically a two-tiered master-slave system of Pax Judaica, of, you know, Talmudic Noahide law for fellow chicken swingers and the Noahide laws for everyone else. And I think people are seeing that now, and they're not as afraid of being called names with those Pavlovian, you know, power magic spells of, oh, you're a racist, you're an anti-Semite, you're a hater, you're a white supremacist. You know, those words are losing their effect as more and more of this agenda and the tactics and the end game are being revealed. You're seeing people stand up at every aspect, from standing up at school boards, standing up to the medical boards, standing up to education. You know, you're seeing these people waking up and realizing that the game is afoot and they better get their head in the game, or, you know, everything they know is going to be taken from them. And so I just have that faith in humanity that, you know, once riled, we're very creative people and can come up with some really good solutions. And I think that's hopefully what we're going to see happen.
Well, we have two callers standing by. The first is from the 281 area code. Caller, just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 281 area code.
Hey, it's Bruce in Texas. Hey, guys.
Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
Bruce. Hey, like a bunch of friends, man. I need to hook up with y'all sometime. It was saying that John Stegmiller passed, and I thought about going to Austin, but I got around to it. It's too late now. But, man, this is some very sobering, very chilling stuff, and I think it's entirely accurate. And I don't have anything to add in that regard other than get guns and be prepared. I mean, they're pushing these migrants in here. To me, it seems like they're putting hyenas into the Serengeti right before the drought, you know?
Yeah.
They have maximum carnage. I got a question for Jim. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers and his stance on the facts? He's not backing down. Are you hearing anything in Wisconsin, any support behind them? Because the woke mob is just blasting out all the crap they can.
Well, I certainly support Aaron Rodgers. He's done exactly what I have done with ivermectin and the, you know, antibody treatment and all that. He's spot on, and the league is completely off base. And it's like Biden with these mandates. They have no lawful or constitutional authority, and yet the league just the NFL, just like the Biden administration, is moving forward despite the unconstitutional character of what they're doing, the gross violation of the Nuremberg Code, which seems to have been lost forever. I stand with Aaron and I condemn the league and their, you know, if this is just monstrous every way you look at it. So I've spoken out about it several times on shows, and I'm glad you asked again, because Bruce, this is just a deplorable situation. Aaron is an American hero. I put him up there with Kyle Rittenhouse, who, by the way, is having a very good day in his trials here in Kenosha, because even the key witnesses the prosecution has produced have admitted that he was acting in self-defense, which those of us who've been following the case understood was the case from the beginning. Aaron Rodgers, likewise, is acting in self-defense. So there you have it, Bruce.
Okay. You can bring on the next caller. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have a second caller from the 208 area code. Caller, please give us your first name and state, 208.
First name is Lance. I'll give you my second name, Boyle. And I'm from southeastern Idaho. And I'd like to just first say it's a great honor to get to talk with you, fine gentlemen. I had hopefully a quick question for BB9. It's hopefully I'm not diverging too much from the general topic, but it was when you were filling in for Giuseppe back in your fake 9/11 was fake and gay dinner theater thing. And you'd mentioned something about Adams Publishing Group has buying up newspapers left and right over and your neck of the woods. Well, that's going on over here too. They've gobbled up pretty much, well, three of the local dailies here in Idle Falls and Pocatello, Blackfoot, and a bunch of the weeklies. And so I'm just trying to dig in deeper. You'd mentioned something that that they look like a Zionist, you know, outfit. And so I don't know how you ascertain that other than, you know, you shall know them by their deeds. I'm wondering if you could shed a little light on this Adams Publishing Group.
Yes, this is part of this fifth generation warfare of cell warfare. And what these groups are doing is going into these rural areas and buying up all the media and basically setting up these cultural Marxist echo chambers, especially with if you have any type of local university. Yeah, so basically the Adams Publishing, Cedric Adams, the patriarch of the family, was this Zionist Jew in the Midwest, and he was known as the Voice Midwest. He was a early radio guy for CBS News, and basically his mandate was to sell the war with Germany to a mainly Jewish and Polish population of the American Midwest in the 1930s, right? And so he was, you know, the voice of the Midwest to demonize Germany and Japan and push for America's entry into the war. His son, Stephen Adams, started Good Sam's retail, you know, just total, you know, merchant guy, right?
And Camping World.
Media, and he was Skull and Bones at Yale University, along with George Bush family and all those other people that are Skull and Bones 22. And so he, Stephen Adams, has after 9/11 just went through the South and these Appalachian Mountains, started doing force buys on all the local media. And so everything in this, you know, Watauga County area is now High Country Press, Adams Publishing, and it is as woke as you can get. They fired all the, you know, regular staff, brought in all these carpetbagger social justice warriors to push the agenda. And one of the first things they did was ban me from commenting. You know, I'm about as local as you can get, right? And they banned me from not only the Watauga Democrat, my local hometown newspaper, but across their entire platform. Right. So that's how banned Jonathan Adams is, I was banned by Adams Publishing. So that's pretty interesting. So that it's warfare.
What the hell?
Wow, that's amazing research you've done there. And I see that they're also, looks like an extension, or they're connected with the Ground Truth project and a Report for America. And it looks like they're, you know, they've got definitely agenda, and they, you know, they want to, they're very aggressive. They want to expand radically even further, you know, on a, seemingly a global scale. And I'm wondering too, if some of the other, they're working hand in hand. They seem to, like the local TV stations and, you know, the online news, they all seem to be echoing the same thing message, you know, get the vax, wear the mask, you know, just constant fear mongering 24/7.
Oh, yes. That's the thing. They're on top of every agenda that comes along and fighting anybody who dares speak out against it or questions any of it. I mean, they are total cancel culture propagandists. You know, these are communists, and you know, they're hardcore about it.
No doubt.
Please. The hair, that's amazing.
Well, yes. I'd just like to add one thing. That's an interesting thing you're bringing up there about the buying up the rural newspapers. That makes sense, because those are sort of the little holes that need to be filled in to capture the minds of the rural people, because they know that the rural country folk are the ones that they have the biggest problem with in terms of indoctrination and mind control. So that's an interesting piece of the puzzle you're bringing to the show here, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because it makes sense, and it also shows they are going for it all. They want all of it. And we need to realize that.
Jim, we are joined by retired commercial pilot and co-pilot with Mike Gaddy Show's Daryl Wayne. Daryl, how are you today?
Well, hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Brilliant show you're having here. I just really appreciate everything that's being talked about here. You're really getting down to the nuts and bolts here of the reality of the circumstances that we're in. I just can't thank you enough, all of you. BB9 has really put it into context for a lot of people here that have been. I was listening to you guys and you, Jim, and all the years that you've contributed to these efforts, I observed that you have had to suffer the Cassandra syndrome of being someone who called out, who knew the future, who actually understood where this was going and called it out and knew it, the curse of Cassandra, and nobody would listen. And I just want to acknowledge your contributions over the years, and as well as BB9 and Dave and Giuseppe. It's the curse of Cassandra.
Well, those are very kind.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Those are very kind words. I just hope we can figure out what we can do about it. I mean, we see so clearly the situation we're in. This show, among all, I think has put it in focus as exactly where we are and what's going on. So any suggestions you have, and I'm delighted you joined us, would be most welcome. What do you believe we can do about it?
Well, from a practical point of view of working a problem, solving it, I have sort of developed a bit of a process with people in my own personal sphere. One thing I try to identify for them is when they're starting to think as victims. I don't allow victim thinking around me. I try to point out the difference between rules and mandates and what laws are. Of course, I've studied and I have a background in studying the law and what it really is. People are going to have to learn the difference between rules and laws. You have to withdraw your participation and to retain or reacquire your dignity. Okay. These are important personal things that people are going to have to do. they're going to have to come back to understanding what first principles are, and if they are compliant, complacent, and complicit in their own destruction. Simultaneously, they're going to have to build new associations, and these are private membership associations where you build a parallel system for transacting for services and goods, and then you're going to have to start becoming more self-sufficient, and you're not going to be able to take your present lifestyles into the future, you're going to you're also going to have to let go of old associations if they will not awaken. Don't just let them go, run from them. And then you're going to have to go back to natural and physical analog activities instead of this virtual reality that we live in. And for those that are willing to hear it, I would recommend you read your Bible. But the first thing you have to do is get over the demoralization. This is fundamentally why the PSYOP has worked so good, and this fifth generation warfare is new by virtue of technology, but it's not new by purpose of past experiences, the Roman Empire, and it was also employed in Han China dynasties, and where they demoralize the people, and that they're also infiltrated. So those are just off the top of my head.
Blackburn, your thoughts.
Greetings, Mr. Darrell. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for the kind words. Maybe. Yes. The strategy, I was reminded of Marcus Cicero's quote about a nation can survive its fool. And you think, even ancient Rome felt the problem with this slime mold, as I call it, when you get infiltrated, it shuts the system down. And he talks about how the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims. He wears their face in arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies in the deep hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars to the city. He infects the body politic so it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. See that's like exactly what we have. This synagogue of Satan has infiltrated and sabotaged all our systems from within to keep them from working as designed. And they're trying to completely demoralize to make us think the system doesn't work because it's bad by design. It's like, no, if it was working by design, it would work beautifully. That's why it had to be destroyed, because it was a competing system that was far more efficient than their system. And so you get the idea of who's gunning for you. And I was also reminded of the Henry Kissinger quote about, Henry Kissinger, the handler of every president, after World War II, basically. And he talked about the illegal we do immediately, echo, 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 right? The unconstitutional takes a little longer. So here you see that they have no interest in the great experiment. They want it destroyed so they can bring in their new world order. And so getting your head around that is one of the first things about, demoralizing yourself, right? So get your head in the game and get mad about it. They're trying to destroy you, and I'm again.
All right. Go ahead, Jim.
Wonderful call. I want to get a brief from Scorpio and Giuseppe. We have two other callers on the line. Scorpio, your thoughts briefly.
Well, Darrell, thanks for calling in. Excellent points. I don't think there's any way to dispute anything you said. I think that everything you said is really what we're going to have to do. I don't think there's any other options moving forward, especially once we move into the era of digital currency. That's when this game really ends for anyone who dares to dissent. So you're right. We're not going to be able to carry our current lifestyle forward. There's no question about that. And I think the sooner we realize that and start taking steps towards that new reality, the better off we're going to be. Because the longer we try to hold on to this old reality, the longer we're stalling a new way to be apart from this system. And because this system is turned on us, and there is no fixing it in the short run. I'm absolutely certain of that.
Giuseppe, briefly.
Kyle Rittenhouse is having a good day. Look at what this Shabbos Goy communist trader posted on Facebook 17 hours ago. If Kyle Rittenhouse is found anything other than guilty, we riot the streets of our cities until he's dead. Now, I would hope that this woman, Lucy Furchrist, does riot, and I hope that she experiences the Kyle Rittenhouse protocol.
Fate. Yes. The ultimate fate.
Yes.
He is truly an American hero. Saul from Colorado, join the conversation.
All right, just had to unmute there. Hi, gentlemen. You know, Jim, I'm crapping my pants over something, and I know we haven't discussed it today, but I know it's on your mind. Since Dave Gahari, the publishing guy of Boon Rock Books and all your works, do you have any idea what you're going to do?
Well, I don't have the latest update on Dave, but he was making some progress. He was, I think, off of the ventilator now, Saul. But actually, I've got to use this few minutes left for us about Blackbird. But I appreciate your concern about Dave Gahari. I'll give updates as I acquire them. We have Brian from Washington State. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, there was some discussion of the COP26 carbon economy. I think there is a huge opportunity to kill several birds with one stone. If Larkin, Texas wants to say the nine words is a solution, I'm insisting that there is a multitude of benefits to a individual going out and making charcoal, of which has 50 uses. And yet, you know, we are not discussing this. I know it's just this really strange thing. I grow food. I use this wildfire hazard of biomass that I am surrounded with. And instead of burning it to ash, I burn it to charcoal and put it in my garden along with my medicine cabinet. So, yeah, we're trying to come up with some solutions. And the problem is with this outfit in Seattle, Washington called NORI, they're trying to figure out a way to monetize carbon. Well, you know, why don't you want to talk more about biochar, you guys at NORI? Well, because it's not something that we can monitor. It's little podunk out in the boonies making charcoal. Well, you know, that's just not something that we can monitor. Can we come out to your 5 acres and take some drone footage and get you on our system? No, I think, you know, let's just create a carbon economy with Bill Gates up in British Columbia, direct air capturing. That works a lot easier for us. So, yeah, I'm seeing this as a win-win. And trust me, this carbon economy that Bantam Joe talks about is real. It is going to be the replacement for, you know, the petrodollar and all of this former things that are now in the historical dustbin. And what we are going to involves this. So I'm just saying, Daryl Wayne wants to make a few suggestions. I think this one is worthy of mention. So that's my spiel for the day. I'm sure you have other callers. Thank you.
Blackbird, would you like to comment on Brian's observations?
Oh, that's, you know, the thing of that you can tell that part of the agenda is to destroy the nation's currency, especially the U.S. dollar as the international currency of trade, the high trust currency that it is. So what are they going to replace it with? Is it going to be some blockchain, you know, cyber currency like Bitcoin, et cetera? Is it going to be carbon credits? You know, what exactly are they going to do to justify this new system of economy? And, you know, that idea of they're always going to try to put it into some centralized system where you basically don't own the currency, you're just using the currency, and they have the control to shut you off at any time to keep you from your currency. And so that's, you know, so much of the model that they're going for is this idea of, you know, the central control, not only keeping your money for you, but deciding whether or not you get to keep it, but based on if you have wrong thoughts or not. So I guess that's the thing that come to mind.
There's a nice illustration in the Will Smith, Gene Hackman movie, Enemy of the State, about cutting off access to your account and how it can be used to manipulate. Anyone who's missed it ought to check it out. Scorpio, your thoughts, which may be our last round. Yours, Scorpio.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's been an excellent show. And I think that's a great sort of ending to the show in a way, because he did sum it up. Our current lifestyle is not going to be available to us. It's time to start creating a new way to be, a new way to interact, and a new way to live. Because believe me, once we enter into this digital currency, as Blackbird pointed out, you're just going to have use of this currency, and you can be turned off at any point. If your social credit score goes down below a certain point, they can just simply cut your bank account off. And we're looking at a system of absolute control that's never been seen, at least in modern history. So we're in a very dire situation. I think our biggest enemy right now are people who think things are about to go back to normal any day now. If you just keep voting, get the right guy in office, that kind of thinking is antiquated. And, you know, as far as growing food, man, any supplementation, any method you can use to make your gardening better, then I'm all for it. And I think growing your own food is going to be a big part of the equation here in the very near future.
Giuseppe, just a few secs. I thought Blackbird was wonderful. Daryl, terrific. We had excellent callers. You and Scorpio, finally sum it up for today's Giuseppe.
Well, the great news is Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club is back on the air weekly Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern time at Blackbird9BreakfastClub.com, and I'd like to let Frederick tell us about his show. It's back and it's excellent.
For show today, and the show will be back on tonight on 3, 4, 8, 10, 10, but catch you on.
Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...